Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Monday, May the 17th, 2021. And I have the honor to have a George, a Republican Party operative for the state of Arizona, for Arizona, should we say, that's going to give us the details because he's right in the middle of it, along with a whole bunch of other people, in the understanding of what really took place during the presidential election with Donald Trump and how they stole the votes and how they recalls are going on right now against congressmen and senators and the governor and all kinds of stuff. With that said, George, how are you?
Stu, how are you doing? Pretty good. Thank you very much.
I'm good. Give us the inside scoop.
Well, let me just preface this. It's just from my own observation. This is like from anything coming directly from the Republican Party itself. But I do work in politics in here in the state. My observation of what's been going on is that, you know, we had essentially a close election, officially, and there was a series of questions about how that election was conducted. There was a lot of groundswell of support behind auditing the vote or even awarding electors at one point to Donald Trump's slate of electors, and that would have made a big deal if had that gone through. But unfortunately, even though Donald Trump was the Republican nominee to be reelected as president, there are a large number of Republicans in the state that they don't have Donald Trump and clearly were unsupportive of doing anything of putting their neck out on the line for the guy. So,
okay, let's take one as an example. John McCain. He's a punk.
Right.
Dead so, now. His wife, Cindy McCain. Here's what I want to tell you about. He was on the orange. This is Arizona politics, folks. I can fill you in a lot of statements here along with the voting record down there. McCain's wife. There's a story on my site. If they go to StuWeb.com and punch in the search box, John McCain's wife, Cindy McCain, supplying drugs. She was supplying the chemicals through her beer company. She was supplying the chemicals to Afghanistan to a so-called dry cleaning store out in the middle of a war zone, which you don't have. I was in the Marine Corps. If you're in a war zone, you wash your clothes yourself. Now, here's the point. She was supplying these chemicals for dry cleaning purposes, supposedly, which was actually making this paste of bringing this heroin or whatever it was, opium, back to America. Now, there's a story on my website. It was thoroughly investigated. Spooks gave it to me. She's a crook. Her daughter's a punk. New World Order. And John McCain was a total crook himself. Matter of fact, John McCain was involved in all kinds of weapon sales and other things illegal. He shouldn't have ever been a U.S. a senator. He should have been put in prison. And he answered to Larry Mizell in Denver, Colorado. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, so, you know, the criminal dealings inside Arizona and across the rest of the country are, you know, there's lots of investigations that could potentially go on that haven't. We've lost a lot of investigative reporters out there that could have followed up on many of these things. I'm not entirely familiar with some of the specifics that you mentioned, but, you know, certainly McCain's had a reputation for being involved in a lot of international, you know, dealings, particularly in diplomacy. And it wouldn't surprise me, of course, in military as well, because that was McCain's forte. And yeah. At the end of the day, you have a very powerful senator in here who has a long time representation in the state's party, and that just allows him to build up his base inside Arizona. And so you had another person, namely Donald Trump, that was trying in there to go in there and reform all this, and these two people came to loggerheads. It's no big news to know that there's no love lost between Senator McCain and President Donald Trump. So know, even though Senator McCain passed away, what was it, 2 years ago, approximately right now, you know, his network is still going to be in there, as is Cindy McCain. So she's no big fan of President Trump, to put it to put it overstatement on it. But when it came down time, therefore, for, you know, say the legislature or the governor, do need to step in to provide some support in awarding the electors or doing some sort of audit on the vote, they weren't going to do it. So it didn't happen. And we know who the people were in the legislature who were handling that kind of interference on behalf of the governor. And we know the governor was not supportive. I mean, the president himself called in when they were doing an investigation on this here in the state of Arizona with some of Trump's allies or legislators that wanted to have this done. And they caught him right on tape receiving that call from the president and turning off, to hanging up on the president when they were trying to make a decision on whether to award the electors to Donald Trump. So the governor stepped in directly into that. And he has his minions in the legislature and across the various other supervisory city councils and so forth across, and county councils across the state. So the question is, therefore, now that we, you know, kind of set this up, how do you solve this problem? And that's where we get into these recalls. That's where these recalls start coming off.
Well, the problem is you got the mob controlling down there, and they have for years, Meyer Lansky and that whole crowd. And went into Larry Mizell's hands now out of Denver. But you talked about dead reporters. You mentioned it, George. Brian Quigg, Don Bowles, I knew them both. Ross Mocker, I don't know if he's still alive, but he got shot by an Israeli behind the ear and it came out his eyeball instead of spinning around his brain, killing him. But Brian helped Brian Quigg. He was down there with the Arizona, Ross Mocker's Arizona Republican, so was Don Bowles, and they were killed over there. You know, stealing to the HUD houses with Bowles, and Rossmacher got shot over his report about the drugs coming off the Indian reservation. And then Brian Quigg got whacked probably because of him confronting Charles Keating after he and I put Charles Keating in jail along with others, the little rock law firm out of San Diego. And their PI, I forget his name, he was a former reporter turned California PI, and he worked for the San Francisco Chronicle. But he had seen me, and Brian used to go over to Charles Keating's back in 1990-91. He would go over to his trash cans, and he would dig in his trash cans, and we'd find all kinds of Secret Service notes and stuff, because George Bush's nephew, something Bush Securities, I'll think of it in a minute, something Bush Securities, he was operating on the same floor as Charles Keating up there on Camelback Road in that building. And down the hallway from Charles Keating was General John Singlob, who was doing Iran-Contra from 1986 forward after Al Martin, my friend, I helped get his book published, The Conspirators, the Iran-Contra Whistleblower. He's now dead, I believe, but it was AlMartinRawl.com was his site. But The Conspirators, he had everybody in it. But these people are all dead, different reporters, and believe me, there's many more. And I know how powerful those people are down there, and it's bizarre, but General Singlaw, by the way, did take over all the MENA Arkansas and all the drugs for Daddy Bush and so forth, and he was running the show. And if you remember, in 1992, Singlaw's airplane landed on Baja, California. It was a 727 with one engine on fire. And the authorities down there in Baja went in on the jet because it was on fire and found it full of cocaine. And they confiscated the airplane. He never went to jail. And they sold it at an auction back to him for 5 cents on the dollar in Florida about 2 months later.
I'm aware of most of these people that you're talking about here. You mentioned the private investigator up in San Francisco. Are you talking about Jack Palladino?
No, it's I'm trying to think of his name. Don West. Don West. He's now dead, I heard. But
West, yeah.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are now passed away. And, you know, General Sinclair is way up there in years at this point. And, you know, we're seeing a transition of power here between these. And this is not something that's only happening now. This has been going on probably for about 20 years, maybe, of where, you know, some of these folks are either retiring or they're getting passed on. I mean, you know, Larry Mizell is a perfect example. You know, his predecessor. Now guys are getting up there in age too. So who knows where? You know, the question is who's getting on to the next level, right? Who's going to be getting the torch passed on to them? And I think without Senator Kane there, at least in aspects of how this is dealt with here in Arizona, and politically, that's going to create an opening for a lot of different things. You're going to start seeing a lot of different shakeups happen. So, you know, trying to attack this, on at least from my perspective, on a private investigation, I'll let that up to the experts like yourself and these other heroes and patriots to come out there and go do that thing. I look at it, at least from what I can do, coming from the political side. And, you know, what we do there is we start recalling and primarying some of these guys out of their offices. And that's happening right now. You know, Governor Ducey, who is pretty much the guy that's consolidating all power here in the state, at least in regards to the McCain Network's politics side of the house, he's got a recall on. His main guy in the state legislature on the House side would be Rusty Bowers, Speaker of the House, and he's got a recall on. There's even some recalls going on some of these other folks that are out there that are actually more on the side of the president. But they're being done by Democrats for the most part. And so, you know, it's a pretty big topsy-turvy situation over here. And that creates a lot of openings for to change the system for the better. I think what's going to happen in the future is that the Republican Party is just going to change. The question is it just going to be a change for real, or is it just going to be the red that's changing things? So we got people talking about America First, talking about immigration restriction, and so on. But those are new words that the Republican Party never used to say. Are they going to really follow through on? And when it comes down to seeing whether that's going to happen, well, how you make this happen is you primary and recall the ones that have been historically against that, and that's what we got going on here. So Rusty Bowers, for instance, is the Speaker of the House, and that guy has a lot of power and influence in the state. He's been inside and outside of politics for about 35 years. So a recall of him successfully would really send shockwaves to the rest of the party and would show that, hey, there's a lot of people here that want the party to change, and either you change or you get out of the way and get out of the party. And that's how that's going
to
work.
Well, that's the way it needs to be done every place. Every state needs to be doing this. Now, we've got these other states that have the same thing going on, correct? They're doing recount. Okay, which states are that? Georgia, I believe.
Georgia, the other ones are Pennsylvania's got something going on. I think Wisconsin has one, and even Michigan actually might have taken up the ball. But I'm not all that familiar with that, but there was an attempt to make that happen. I don't know if they were successful. Michigan's kind of like Arizona. There's a nice big group of people up there that have held control of the state for a long time, and they weren't all that friendly to the president. So they weren't very supportive of doing any of these audits of the votes or recounts of the vote or, you know, awarding electors to the president.
Okay, now, let's take an example of the paper trail here. This mail-in ballot, unless you are, you know, have picked up and you notarized it, and the whole bit, it's your signature, and you picked up a ballot, they allow us in Missouri. If you can't be there on voting day, and you can't vote right then and there, but they want you to vote right then and there, That's absentee ballot. You need to do it like 30 days before the election or whatever, 10 days before the election. Otherwise, you have to go down and punch the voting machine and run your vote through, et cetera. That's the way it is here in Missouri and Kansas and so forth, a lot of states. Now, they came out with electronic voting machines, and they've done the other, and of course, you take and punch your paper ballot after you take your little tab off, and you punch it in the machine. And Westar Satellite System, Daddy Bush E-Systems, part of Raytheon Corporations out of Dallas, Texas. They call it the CIA Shadow Government Division Number 4 hit teams. Mind control, sit them down in the chair. They steal the election on voting day. They change the numbers on those machines. Now, we also know that Dominion was involved, and I did the paper trail on Dominion first thing and popped it up to Colorado Secretary of State's office, and it pops up, and it goes back to an address created by my ex-father-in-law where they were setting up one hell of a lot of businesses and corporations and so on and so forth. And they ended up, current control of Dominion software ends up the hands of the Walton Foundation out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And if you remember Sam Walton, Sam's Club, Milman and Bush, my ex-father-in-law and Daddy Bush financed Sam Walton in his very first. And everybody thought he was a billionaire in stock when he died. But the way they handle it is they'll loan you the money on your first one or two deals, and they keep the stock. That way they control the stock and they have it signed over to them right then and there. Anything they purchase thereafter is theirs. That's the way they do business. That's the way it is, George. But I know that that Republican Party down there, the Democratic Party, I mean, we've got one hell of a lot of stooges because of APEC, the American-Israeli Pact, because of the illegal campaign money laundering. If you remember, they called it the Keating 5, but it was actually the MDC 200, and they were running stories for me out of the Arizona Republic on it. But, you know, Charles Keating, he wasn't the only one. I mean, there were 200 of them they were pumping money to all across the nation, and they did it illegally and never got find anything except controlled by the SEC for a period of 3 years. That was it that happened to MDC Holdings, which was the parent company of Silverado Savings, Neil Bush director, along with the two APEC directors, Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein, who are the main drug dealers and controllers of the U.S. Congress today through APEC, the American-Israeli Pact. Those are the two goons, and they control Arizona, they control California, they control a big block of America, along with the 12 other disciples of Satan, they call it, because they're in control of 95% of the economy, and they're in control of 98% of the pension funds. And they did it overnight, over a 20-year period of time. And last count I heard from the General Accounting Office was that 95% of the economy is controlled by 400 men now.
The concentration of power inside the United States is unbelievable to behold. Once you start getting into the nitty-gritties, like we've got three or four media companies that run about almost 90% of all media in the United States.
Yep.
And you have a president who, I mean, I like the guy very much, but I think there was quite a lot more that he could have done. But what he did do was expose the system that was out there. It was like turning the lights on in that room and seeing a bunch of cockroaches and seeing how bad the place was. So They did not like that. They've done everything they could to deplatform, and take him off Twitter, take him off of Facebook, take his followers out, and that's been going on since he first started running for office.
It's been 4 years of his presidency under attack by the U.S. Congress and Senate, bringing up false charges of false dossiers created by Hillary Clinton, Strzok, and others at the FBI to make sure Trump didn't get elected, and then turn around and go through impeachment, and then accuse him of starting a capital assault. Oh, come on!
This is the kind of stuff that has been going on at the lower level to many, many patriots and heroes that are pretty much unsung and unforgotten out there, because they started talking about this. You can go all the way back to Bob Bolts, watching how his assassination took place. That was a good almost 50 years ago. We're going back. It's going back, what was it, 70-something. But so it's a long time ago. And this has been going on in politics. You started rattling that cage too much. start looking into certain places. And if they don't think they can buy you off or blackmail you off, and you find out too much, boy, they will kick you out of there as soon as anything. And if you are too strong, they'll try to, you know, do something worse. So
yeah, you get suicided.
The way you got to play this is now that, you know, just remember, these folks, they can't just control the entire population of the United States from uprising. And there is a good percentage of the American people now. This is the one great thing Donald Trump did do, that they have awakened to the rigged system, as Trump said, and they are just not buying it anymore. And when you get a large group of people like that, that if they do not trust the system, they do not trust the FBI, they do not trust the agencies, the DOD, the legislature, the president of the United, the White House, and the current president of the United States in there, we got something is going to happen, or something's got to give. And right now, you have a president in there. He's talking about his surrogates are out there saying they're going to do drone strikes on people just because they, you know, question the electoral proprieties that are going on. And we need to question these things. And when the government tried to push back on that because you're questioning it, well, now that just calls into question their legitimacy. When they're out there going out saying, oh, you can't do this in Venezuela because of XYZ types of electoral improprieties, and then they have the same electoral improprieties here in the state of Arizona, or Michigan, or Pennsylvania, or wherever it is, that pretty soon the entire neoliberal empire of America starts being called into question. Because that's their whole point, sending these guys overseas to prop up these governments in the name of democracy. And
I live in a republic, not a democracy.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I say I live in a republic, not a democracy, but they use that word democracy.
But, you know, they'll go off and support these kind of colored revolutions overseas. But when there's a literal popular demonstration in support of the president, angered at the attack on democracy that was done by this questionable electoral process, well, now they're the insurrections. See, it's all backwards and hypocritical, and the rest of the people understand that now. I mean, when you got people that feel that their votes have been disenfranchised by a fraudulent electoral system and by a partisan system that is not listening to its members, then they're getting over there to demonstrate at Congress is their God-given American right. And because a few smashed windows were broken, and some Democratic or Congress critters had to wiggle along the floor and pee themselves, all of a sudden, these guys are all a bunch of terrorists that they've got to be drone striked. And we got journalists actively talking on CNN about how they've got to do counterinsurgency against white supremacy and these other folks, which is their catch-all term for anybody that's a Trump supporter, a patriot, or whatever. So, you know, this is just, they've got programs out there now to work out how to do counter-terror programs inside the United States and want to make it a law. So this is, all of this is a reaction of that weak system, you know, trying to maintain itself in power through holding a strong grip of authoritarian means. And as a student of history, student, you know that when these kind of governments get into that shape, these regimes, I should say, get into that type of situation, the end is coming for them. You just know that from history. However long that takes, they cannot maintain that type of control for that long period of time. It's unsustainable. They can't do it. More and more people are just not going to buy it anymore.
They aren't buying it. The people aren't buying it. They're fed up with it. And they're looking for answers right now to, you know, how to counter this. And recall is one of the best things to do. Matter of fact, I got a recall petition up there on my site. If people want it, and it's in the, it's below the breaking news column. Just look for their petition. I helped a couple guys in Colorado by giving them maritime, and they got the volunteers they needed to recall two congressmen that were saying you can't have a gun in Colorado any longer. They were violating their oath of office, support and defend the Constitution, Second Amendment. So they recalled them.
The citizens have the power, Stu. The citizens have the power.
Yes.
We, particularly in these western states. Remember, our states here in Arizona was formed when this gilded age was going on, when this corporatocracy was really taking over the country. And they realized that the best way to stop that was to give as much electoral power to the people as possible. So they did that with, say, citizens' initiatives, citizens' recalls, and referendums. We got a recall of a mayor here. That's in the city of Mesa, which is the district in which old Rusty Bowers lives in, because she was going to do whatever this transgender LGBTQ friendly bathroom policy. Well, Mesa just happens to be a very conservative Republican leaning. For the LDS Mormons, you know, we can go down that rabbit hole real long time, but you know, the common people, the Mormons are very conservative, at least publicly, in their value systems. They do not like that type of stuff. So they've got referendum to overturn this transgender bathroom policy. They got a recall of the mayor there who pushed this and signed the bill to make it happen. You got a recall of Rusty Bowers, that's his area where he lives in, going on. That looks like it's going to happen. You have a recall of the supervisor, Maricopa County, again, where this is all taking place, where that's happening. And finally, you got recalls of the governor and so forth going on as well. I can't go into the specifics about what's happening in those other recalls, but I'll just, I'll tell you that at least in regards to the Rusty Bowers recall, that looks like that's going to happen. But again, that's going to take more and more people to go in and sign for it and get involved in it. Now, for those of your listeners that are out there that live in Maricopa County, now's the time to step up.
Now, they can find these recall petitions. I'll try to find them myself and maybe get some links from you on them where I can put it underneath this radio program.
Yeah, we'll get that out.
We'll get that out. Yeah.
There's a number of them, and I strongly encourage your listeners to go out there, just to go if they live in the right area. Okay, so
go volunteer to get some signatures
on there.
Go volunteer.
Go out there and get these signatures from the rest of the voters. And that's how.
And where you get them is you go to Walmart, you go to the big shopping centers where they're packed. You're going to get the people to sign. You'd be surprised how many people come up and sign. But the key is to ask them for their ID and to verify from the voter list along with your recall petition that's filed.
Yes, all that, absolutely. That's what, and a lot of these campaigns have this going. I mean, there's the recall Doug Ducey campaign. There's the recall Chukri campaign. There's the recall Rusty Bowers. So there's a number of these, and all you got to do is just when they can link in, have a link or whatever that you have set up there, and they can go and find out the contact info if they want to get directly involved. Or if they just want to go ask their neighbors and just go on their known, they can download that recall petition and then get that filled out and turned into the appropriate recall office.
Well, this is a way we got to get rid of these people or indict them and get proper people in there. The problem is that we have is we don't have a Justice Department. It's totally corrupt. We have a Congress and Senate that are corrupt, except for I think Jim Jordan's okay and Nunes out of California and DeSantis and, that's now the governor of Florida. You know, the rest of them pretty much showing their color on who they really are. And you saw it in the hearings with Strzok of the, FBI overlay into the CIA that's been kicked out of the FBI, still getting a CIA paycheck. The arrogant little sucker that was up there so arrogant over that dossier that Hillary Clinton brought up. And here they proved he was lying and that he was targeting Trump during the election. And here he's still in power. This is the problem that we have. We've got to change the whole government, and it has to go start at a grassroots effort, because if it doesn't, with what their intentions and plans are for me, George, and I believe for you and others, is I'm already seeing it with the false arrest, where I'm being constantly tailed, they're stalking me, they're trying to murder me, they're doing mass cyber terrorist attacks, which I produced the evidence on my website of. Those are mass felonies. That's a lot of jail time. I've tried to push the U.S. attorney here, and he don't want to do his job. That's the problem with these people. The government, when they start targeting their own people, that's a very, very dangerous situation. And they're doing it now with everybody. One of the things I've noticed is they're going after the doctors and the different ones, hosts, who are talking about the virus. Don't take the vaccination. Now, I got a video, George, I got to put up that I saw the other day. A listener sent it to me, of people taking a magnet where they just had their vaccination and they set the magnet on their arm and it sticks to their arm because of the chip in there, which is in Revelations 12, in my opinion. You can't buy or sell without the mark. But I've got the video. I'll be putting it up. It'll be in a separate, it'll be there in the breaking news column, but I'll try to put it up underneath the show as well because it was mentioned. But people are talking out against politics and about Donald Trump are being hammered. Look at Mike Lindell. Look at the evidence he's produced. MyPillow. Look at that. And what they're trying to do to him and the major corporations that are cutting off his revenue out of their stores. I guarantee you, point back and look at the stock holdings, it's part of the crime syndicate that wants to keep this so-called goon in office. I call him a child molester. The so-called president of the United States. And he is. His son was a child molester. Videotaped evidence. People go out there to GNews.com. I won't hook the link up on my site because I don't want to be classified as a porno site. But there's a lot of videoed evidence of Biden and his son having sex with their with his sister, etc. GNews.com, folks. But go ahead, George. Give us a rundown on what you think people need to do in this country to change this country now.
First thing is understand. We are the moderates, wanting a better community, wanting a better country, being concerned about your community, being concerned about your country, being concerned about your people. There's nothing wrong with that. And we got to get away from this idea that criticizing something because you want a better place for your people and your community is a bad thing. And that's, I got to say that this is one of probably the biggest tricks this regime has done is how that has, they've gotten the majority of the population, which is the white population, to start to question its own legitimacy and to be very careful about being perceived as a bad racist or whatever. And the government's now using that to its further advantage by going after the so-called white supremacy stuff, which they're pushing out through the military and everywhere else. And you know, people just got to understand that there's nothing wrong with pride in your past and in your ancestors and in your nation, number one. And number two, there's nothing wrong with realizing that there is something crooked going on and to get involved and to try and do things. That is the moderate position. We're not the domestic extremists. The domestic extremists are these people that want to talk about troll striking somebody because they got upset about the election. That's the kind of crazy wacky doodle stuff for people to start saying that. And they're saying it out on the media.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's. Go ahead.
This is they got it backwards. This when they're saying we're the extremists. No, they're the extremists. And they're trying to hold on to power to use whatever means necessary to do it. Now, once people realize they have a right to criticize, and they have a right to demonstrate, and they have a right to accuse this legitimate regime of its illegitimacy, then, you know, things can start happening as a popular movement. Because remember, we as a people, united, are unstoppable. We have a moral justice behind us in wanting a free country that was given to us by our forefathers, and to have that continued passed on to our posterity. So people need to disabuse themselves of this notion that they have to, they got to be all careful about this and that. The only thing you got to be careful about is just, don't break the law, but go out there and be involved in your community. Go out there as a popular movement, change things. And that's happening. We are seeing it happen. Right now, this is the biggest number of recalls that have been pushed that, in the entire history of Arizona. I don't know if all of them are going to succeed. I'm certain some of them will. And I'm certain that if things continue with these elected representatives, there's going to be more recalls. And there are going to be more successes at it. So when people realize that they are part of a bigger movement of people that realize the same things they do, they have a tendency to try to, they have a tendency to join up and do things of getting involved. So what people need to do is get involved with their community. They need to get involved with their political party. They need to get involved with, whatever association of like-minded people, and push for grassroots political change. And, you want to get into all the security stuff and all that. That's a different story. I won't go into that. But, there's ways to do that, all legal and above board. But, at the end of the day, people got to realize they are the foundation upon which all Republican government, and I say that with the small r, not the big r, Republican Party, but the Republican style government that we were given through our Constitution and which we had inherited and from our forefathers who came from England. So there's an entire system that we have inherited, which is tied to an entire group of people going back in time. And throughout history, they have at times arisen to meet the threats to their liberties and have made the popular movements that have changed things for the better. People need to just start doing that now. These recalls are a great way to do it. I encourage them to get involved and look at your site, download those recall petitions, get involved with the recall races, the various coordinators that are doing them. There's groups such as, and I'm sorry if I get some of these names mixed up, I'm dealing with so many names, but Arizonans United, I think it's a group that's headed out by Liz Harris. There's a group out in Mesa, the one that's doing the recall, Rusty, I think that's called, being pushed by a group called Patriot Pack. I think Lynn Terrace is the one that's doing the one for Doug Ducey. There's some doing for the supervisors, and forgive me, I'm forgetting their names. Good people. But we'll make sure all those names are there. Get a hold of these folks and work with them on getting these some form signed.
Let's get them on the air. Let's get them on the air with me. You help do this. The ones that are pushing, the difference between the bad Democrats down there that are trying to remove Republicans right now, because they support Trump. We want to make sure that we expose those people. But maybe we can get some of these other people that you're talking about on the air to help push to get volunteers.
I'll see what we could do.
Okay.
It's certainly every medium helps on spreading the word. And that's what thing they want to try and get rid of is those mediums. You've been doing this for a long time, Stu. The type of things they've tried to do to take down your various mediums that you've done. They've done the same thing to Alex Jones. They've done the same thing to other groups that are out there. Then they'll come after you. If you're a businessman, they try to do that with Mike Lindell. That's okay. They're letting them go do that. There's a way to fight back. fight back. You know, a lot of people got stocks for it. All they got, you know, they could, if there's a guy that somehow could come up with a plan to form a grassroots movement of stock owners and retake the board of, you know, Mike Lindell's competitors who've come after him, well, boy, that would really make a big difference. So we have powers as citizens within legitimate means to make the changes. So, yeah, we'll see about getting some folks over to you to spread the word, and we'll go from there.
Well, I want to see Arizona cleaned up. It's been too many years. I've been there. It's too many years. I've seen too much going on out of that place. And it is. It's going every place in the country. Now, real quick, one of the ways, George, that they did this false election was these mail-in ballots. And a lot of them, they're saying, weren't even voted in some of these states. Can you get in a little bit of detail on how they pulled it off?
Well, let's just look at how mail-in ballot works. So somebody gets a ballot sent in the mail to their residence, and that residence is associated with a registered voter who receives that ballot. Okay, well, what if that person's moved? What if that person is dead? What if that person is old, disabled? What if that person is a roommate? All right. They don't care about that anymore. All you got to do is you get that ballot in there. You put it in one of these little envelopes that it's a specially marked envelope showing what is that special mark. Oh, it's just a mail-in ballot. It has no association with any specific number or something like that. All it has on there is for the person who says they are the voter to sign that envelope, and then they bring it on over to the voting center, such as what happened in this last election here in Arizona, and drop it off. They go over and they mail it in to the post office and have it sent down to the reporter's office, or they even take it down to the reporter's office themselves. All right. Well, you know what? There were people that had showed up with about 6 or 10 of these envelopes at one time. You know that the person that's carrying that envelope is not the person delivering nine of those ballots, and they just drop them into a little drop box that's over there at the voting center. Right? I mean, what kind of clown show election system is that?
It isn't.
And then it gets some of those boxes where I don't want to go off on fake stuff. These were all in voting centers. These were not outside of voting centers. They're inside voting centers, right? But you know what? These voting centers were at places like a shopping mall office. And some of these boxes were left overnight untended by anybody in their voting offices. We have no idea if somebody snuck into there and put some sort of brand new bunch of ballots in there. And finally, you have people that, you know, they saw things go on where ballots were being dropped off at weird, strange places at the final election night, and then they were centralized there being sent down to the county recorder's office. I've heard reports of places out in the middle of nowhere, to racehorse track places where, you know, we know there's organized crime activity in the past that's occurred out of there. There's a lot of questionable activities going on, and the chain of custody of these ballots also should be called into question. And this mail-in ballot is just ripe with fraud. How the heck can you have get people to support government when they don't even trust the election system?
Now, there's a lot of people there that were dead voted mail-in ballots. I mean, all this stuff. We've had the presidency stolen from Donald Trump, basically.
Sure. I mean, this, here in Arizona, this range was decided by a 0.025, or approximately, percent of the election. Now, a lot of states have mandatory recount if it's 0.05%. And I mean that on a decimal system. In other words, it's not 0.05, but 0.5%. So Arizona doesn't have that. It has 0.025%. Well, the legislature wanted to pass a bill right after the election that would have made that a mandatory 0.5%, and it would have forced a recount on that election system, on that election. Automatic, this past one, even though the bill that had been passed after the election, that bill went nowhere because the Speaker of the House of Representatives refused to, and the Governor, Ducey, refused to have the legislature meet for a special session on voting for it. So, you know, these type of shenanigans where you have a mail-in ballot that can be sent 30 days or whatever it was, before the election, dropped off at a voting center, and somebody could bring in 30 envelopes, many of them unsealed, and drop them off in a drop box, and then left unattended overnight, before finally being sent down to the center here. It's called the county recorder's office. What kind of clown show is this? That's not an election. We need to go back to same day voting, right? And it needs to be at your local precinct level area where you live in your neighborhood. When do we even have that? We have these voting centers set up in a bloody office in a shopping mall. This is not how elections are supposed to be run. And you know, that's a bipartisan issue. This mail-in ballot thing was passed by the Republican Party. They're the ones who did that. Now, this county recorder is the one who expanded loosened the restrictions on the mail-in ballots. That was done by Democrats during this all across the country when we had COVID, because they wanted to blame COVID. So that was part of the whole COVID epidemic thing that they're trying to promote, why they needed to restrict voting, loosen voting. Well, this is detrimental to our entire political process. And one of the things the Republican Party needs to be doing is going back to the traditional voting formats that we used to have. None of the electronic stuff. Having a system that is wired into three different states. I mean, that's just, any person in their, when their right minds knows that's just immediately open up to fraud. We need to go to a system where these votes are counted by the tabulating machine at the point of delivery. And then those ballots on the same day. And then those ballots are all together with the little black boxes on that tabulator and then escorted. Armed escort, police escort, straight down to the recorder's office, and there transferred, documented, and then brought into the recorder's office, documented again, black box as well, and then ran through another tabulator. And then you have a whole series of other statistical requirements you make to verify the accuracy of the vote. It's pretty simple. Not rocket science. We had a pretty good system in place, and they just went all crazy monkey over us, starting about 15 years ago or so. And it's just gotten worse. So the Republican Party needs to get in on this because, well, I guess it's hurting them now. Also, they're going to probably do it. The Democrat Party, though, needs to look at this stuff, too. So it does, because this stuff can work against the Democrats. You get some wily Republican out there. Well, he may may figure out a way to steal the vote for his side.
Now, I'm for Donald Trump, and I know he won the election and everything else, and I've seen this country just look at it like, whoa, and all this facade with the virus, you know, Lysol kills coronavirus, spray cans that was right on there, been on there for 5, 6, 7 years. But all this facade they've done to us, and wearing masks and doing all this other, all for this mark and the chip that they're going for. I mean, you see the bigger picture, you understand the bigger picture. Is there hope for America, yes or no?
Absolutely. The mobilization of the people has already started. There's nothing they can do to stop it. And the more they do to try and stop it, fortunately, if they do, the more violent it will get. That's just how these things work. If the people will continually thwart you, people start getting violent. That's just what happens.
Yep.
I don't want to see that myself. We had the Soviet Union was brought down relatively peacefully, but that was a very corrupt system that existed over a period of 70 years. And before that, those people lived under Nazi occupation. Before that, they had lived under, the Tsarists. These weren't people that were, very much accustomed to democratic norms. Nonetheless, they managed, as a united people, to get together, obviously, aided and abetted by us as well, to overthrow those regimes. They just simply stopped listening to it. And, that's the other alternative. Maybe someday, if they succeed in their 1984 Orwellian regime to keep stamping the foot on our face, that they'll succeed and there won't be a popular movement to reform the government. But in the end, even then, that system is unsustainable because you just cannot stop life. That's it. And the regime will collapse.
Well, I'm pretty much.
I'd like to be on the right side of history.
Yep.
So I'm very confident that the movement inside the United States and across Western Europe, which is also happening, will succeed in transforming the system. I'm very confident that that will happen.
All right. That's fair enough, George. By the way, there's a. I didn't say anything to you, but there's a website called https://www.amazing1.com. Brand new design, specially focused ultrasonic beams, third generation of pain wave pistols. In other words, energy weapons, folks. Silent and effective. Don't have a gun. Silent and effective. Amazing1.com. All kinds of Tesla toys up there. You would be surprised.
I will keep that in mind, Stu. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it. And you have a good day. Be safe.
You betcha.
Take care. Bye.